Huh?
You don't want to run everybody away, do you?
No, I ain't run nobody away now. Can't do that. I ain't gonna do that. Well, be honest with you right now, I don't exactly what I'm gonna preach. Lord laid two messages on my heart, and I don't know which one to do it, which one in. So, y'all just pray for me. But I tell you what, I want to thank each and every one of you for your presence. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. And we need to be diligent in the days to come. We need to be working and doing what we can for the Lord. And, you know, there's time that's going to come. It's going to be trying time, worse than it is now. Things is going to get worse. It's not going to get no better. And, you know, it's not, that's not something good to say, but it's the truth. It's things going to get better. What it says in the book of Revelations. But even with all that said and done, it's still going to be a joy in serving him. And, you know, I certainly believe this, that we as Christians, we're living in the most exciting times as Christians. Even though it's getting harder and harder to serve the Lord, because each and every time we go out and we visit and you hear about people, they tell you, I'm saved, I'm saved. Do you go to church anywhere? No, I don't go to church. I can stay at home. I can get as much of preaching I need at home. Yeah, they came from their wife or their husband, but I'm talking from God's Word. And, you know, with that in mind, it's talking about the people that are speaking about the preaching at home, what they speak talking about, they talking about that they can turn the TV tube on. They can turn the TV on and they can find all kind of preaching on there. But it's not but one or two on there that I would even listen to. Because the rest of them are not number false prophets. And we're living at that day and time that where as many as God calls to serve him, the devil calls twice as many to serve him. And you know how he does that? By leaving them alone. By putting things in the world. He don't have to do a thing to the lost. But boy, he's a good devil. He said, why would you say that? He's good at what he does. But I serve one better than him. I serve one greater than he. But we just need to be mindful to what the Lord wants and the Lord wants us to do as Christians. First of all, he wants us to be faithful unto him. He wants us to be faithful to him. Now, we just come out of a 7-day revival, 5 days the other week, and 2 days this past week. Now, I think I can speak for all of you that's here. I know I can speak for myself. But the Lord done something. The Lord showed me some things in the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks that I really, at that time, didn't understand why. But now I do. We don't need to be running other churches down. We don't even need to be running one another down. The only thing that we need to do is we need to spread the gospel. We don't need to spread no gossip. We don't need to try to hurt nobody. But we need to spread the gospel. The gospel is to whosoever will. And that's through them doors there. Just like I said, I believe it was Wednesday night. I'm so thankful that I'm in a church. And I'm so thankful that we have people here in the church. That God is not on the outside of the door knocking and trying to get in. He's invited in. But in a whole lot of services, in a whole lot of churches today, He's not invited in. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. But they've got to give an account for their own self. We've got to give an account for ourselves. And I have to give an account for what I do. And I have to give an account for in the way I lead this church. And the way He allows me. And I'm gonna give him account for everything that I say in the pulpit. Even though sometimes it may sound foolish, sometimes it may sound inadequate or whatever, but I'm going to have to give God an account for it. But before we get into scripture this morning, I just want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 4, excuse me. Chapter 4. But I think before we do, we need to go and ask the Lord to come in this morning in a special way and to allow Him to work in the lives of the people that is here. We see right here in Job chapter 1 in verse 10, it says, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him?" We need to make a hedge around this sanctuary. We need to make a hedge from the boundaries of this property out here, where Satan cannot come in and try to destroy the work of God. And we need to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, for what You are doing within the people's hearts now. Lord, I thank You for these Thy people. Father, these are some faithful servants of Theirs. Father, I don't have to worry about, Father, if they're going to be at church or not, because I know that they're going to be here. I know they're going to be at each and every service unless something providentially hinders them. Maybe a job. And Father, maybe sickness or whatever. But Lord Jesus, we ask that You may touch each and every one. Give them the desires of their heart, is what Your word says. So, Father, we're asking this morning that You will put the hedge around each one of the people that is here this morning, each one of thy servants this day. Put the hedge around the sanctuary. Put a hedge around the property here, that it will not be dishonored. And Father, where Satan will come about, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, not only that, that you put the hedge around us, but that, Father, that you will sprinkle some of the blood there upon the hedge, like you said in the Old Testament. Father, where you took upon the doorpost and you applied the blood upon the doorpost. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you apply the blood to the top of the hedges. And Father, around this building and around this sanctuary, around this property, Father, where Satan cannot come in and rob and steal and try to disturb the people. Father, because, Lord, as we leave the sanctuary and as we leave the property, Father, we know that we're going to come up against the devil and his angels there, Father, that's going to try his very best to destroy our lives as Christians. So, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that you may bless the service. And, Father, I pray, God, Father, that you'll touch me from on high. Lord, that the very words that will come through these lips this morning will be the very words that you have upon your lips, that they may drop upon my lips, Father, and that I may speak the very words of God. Father, we want to thank you. And Lord Jesus, we know that you've got mighty and great things ahead of us for this church. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you're going to build this church. You're going to build this church from the foundation up, Lord. We know that, and we believe in you. We don't have no doubt about it. Because, Father, I believe that each one of us that's here this morning, we have a vision that you have put upon our hearts, that we may see people to come in, that we may see people that's lost, God, that they may be saved under the preaching of thy word. And, Lord Jesus, that people will come in and say it's good to be in thy house. So, Father, we ask today that you will bless in your own way that you can bless. We thank you, Father, and we thank you, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer. We pray. Amen and amen. Hear him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to back up and I'm going to read 1 and 2 too. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not in us. This morning I want to concentrate on verse 6. For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One of God's commandments is that I believe that is for a Christian is that we must allow that light that is on the inward side of us to so shine as that is the bright sunlight is out there when the afternoon comes and when the dawn sets in, when darkness comes upon around us and around the world, then people can see the light that is embedded within each one of us by the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He saved us, He gave us a light that we, where that light can so shine. We can see here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness." God looks at the heart. God looks at our heart. God does not see the outside of appearances of individuals. He looks at our own heart. Yes, we can do this and we can do that and we can do it in a way that where people can see us. But we need to get our hearts right with God before God can ever use us as Christians. And God needs to get people's hearts right with Him that are lost. Over there in the book of Genesis, where God created man, and then He created a helpmate. What did He create Adam and Eve for? He created them to where He could have somebody that He could talk to, and where somebody could talk to Him. But there are people all around the world now, today, that claims to be born again, claims to be a Christian, a claim to have the blood of Jesus on the life and where He saved them. They say that they can take you to the place. But the light is not shining. Why? Why is the light not shining? It's because they don't have what they need inside. The verse of scripture that I reckon is probably the whole Bible's my favorite, but if there's a verse in here that I love quoting a whole lot, and I can't, even this I've quoted so many times, I still can't even quote it hardly. But it's in, because I'm scared I may miss a word, and if you miss one word in a verse of scripture, Or if you change that word to another word, then you done took away the meaning of the scripture. You done took away the newness of it because it lives. But it says right here in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now there's people today that will say, oh no, he's a fanatic. Now he's gonna get up out here like he's charismatic, then he's gonna come down from the pulpit. He's gonna start running out, and then he's gonna start falling out, and the floor is gonna start rolling around and all of that. No, I'm gonna tell you something. The people that don't have the Holy Ghost, they need to be worried. Not the people that hasn't. They need to be worried because they don't have no part of God in them. Because you have to have the Holy Ghost living within your soul, within your heart, before you can ever experience the things of God. Because without the Holy Spirit living within you, you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ living within you. And you do not have God the Father living in you. And I believe that you have the Trinity of God living in your heart and in your soul if you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because he speaks of the Trinity there. Speaks of the Trinity. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. When we get in the Bible, when we read, I believe when we read the Bible, when we read the Word of God, and there's some scripture here I don't understand. But I do understand it when I come back and I read this verse of scripture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He's going to teach me what God wants me to say from the verses. And it says, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How does God speak to us? Through his word. That's how God speaks to us. But he will bring everything that we read in the word of God. It may not be right for this particular moment. But when you get in a situation, and if you read the Bible, if you read the Bible through, and it doesn't, and I don't believe it takes, you have to read it 10 or 15 or 100 times a year or 15 times a day or something like that. I don't believe it. I believe all you have to do is just get in there and read the scripture. And if you read the Bible all the way through at least one time, I believe that God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Comforter, they will bring back what you have read. At least they will bring back the scripture, where it was at. If it was in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it's there for our understanding. And if I don't need a particular scripture, if I don't need a particular verse of scripture for today, then he's not going to give it to me. But if I come up against something throughout this day, and it may be later this afternoon or tonight, then he'll show me in God's word what the scripture's at. He'll tell me about where it's at, about what book it's in, about what chapter it's in. Yes, and then I may have to end up reading a whole chapter or just skimming through that particular book to where I can skim through it. And then when I skim through it or when I read it and everything, And then that's when God will take control of our eyesight. And when he does, our eyesight will be locked in on that verse of scripture he wants us to study. For the situation that we're in. You know, over here in Luke, I think it is, chapter 18. Well, Luke chapter 18 or Matthew chapter 20 or Mark chapter 6, I believe it is one of them. But it's speaking about the blind man. Speaking about the blind man. Where the blind man right here was healed. Who do you think that spoke to this blind man that was sitting on the outside of that gate? Do you believe it was the followers, the multitude of people that was following Jesus? No, it wasn't them. Why? Because they were just flogging after him. They were just grabbing after Jesus because they wanted to touch something that he had. They wanted to touch his clothes. But see, he knew what they wanted. They wanted to be seen. They wanted him just to acknowledge who they were, but he didn't. He didn't acknowledge who they were. But in that small voice, a small still voice that he heard. He heard a blind man begging. Well, the whole crowd was just chasing after him and they was just falling at his feet and they wanted to just touch him. They didn't get nothing from that. But he heard a blind man and he called out, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, thou son of David." The second time, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." And I don't believe the blind man stopped there either. And he says, "Have mercy on me, the son of David." Jesus knew who he was speaking to. And Jesus went to him. He went where he was at. At the end of that particular chapter there, what happened? He healed his eyes. He brought about his eyesight. He was saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's a twofold blessing right there. God saved him. God healed his eyesight. Do you think the blind man, after he received his eyesight, do you think he said, "Well, now I can see"? And going up and telling everybody else that was right there flogging it? No. He went a running. He went a running telling everybody. He went a running. I believe he run all the way into Jericho. I believe Zacchaeus had heard something about that. That's the reason Zacchaeus went up his sycamore tree. I believe not only that, I believe that's when Paul there in the book of Acts, and when he was going down the Damascus highway to the next place that he had to do his work at, that he'd been was in charge of doing that day. See, he was in charge of martyring people. He was in charge of destroying the work of God. That was his work. That's all Paul knew about. He didn't know anything at all about the Lord Jesus at that time. He didn't know anything about salvation. He didn't know anything about the cross. He didn't know anything about that. Even though Paul, he knew it was, I believe it was 7 or 8 or 9 different languages. But on the road to Damascus that day, Paul saw something. But before Paul saw something, I think the Lord Jesus Christ heard something from Paul. And he won't look into his heart. I mean, his outside appearance. He was listening to his heart. You know, sometimes a heart will tell us to do one thing, but then we have a mind that tells us to do something else. And 9 times out of 10, the right thing to do and the right thing to listen to is a heart. Because if we listen to a mind, it's going to get us in trouble. It always does, it always has. See, because that's what Satan attacks. Satan attacks our mind. And you know, today, in the time that we're living, and I've known some people in the past, there's one that I can think of right now, it's my mother-in-law. She's in heaven today. If anybody, if there is a heaven, and I know that there is, if anybody ever enters the portals of glory, it's going to be her. It's going to be her. Because she loved God so much that she started praying for me the first time that she saw me. I know that because she told me. When I took her daughter back home that night, she didn't come to the door and meet the door and open the door and have a baseball bat or a broom or a shotgun or something like that. Like a whole lot of people tell about their mother-in-law. No. I don't even think she even come to the door. She probably went to bed. I don't know if she was asleep or not, but I can promise you one thing. Before she got in that bed, she talked to the Lord about me. She was instrumental in me accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But then, some years later, she started coming down with dementia. Then she started with Alzheimer's. What does Alzheimer's start at? It don't start in the heart, it starts here. You could go over there when she is in the nursing home. Got to the point she didn't know anybody. She didn't even know Shelby. And it was hard. I mean, that's hard on people when your own mother or your own father don't even know you, don't even recognize you. But I'd always ask him, I said, do you love God? Yes. Yes. She couldn't tell you what she was talking about, but you let me tell you what. The heart. Have you ever seen an individual with Alzheimer's, or how you pronounce it, that they can go back and they can remember the things that happened on January the 1st, 1940. The exact date and everything. But they can't tell you what happened in the last 5 minutes. You know why? Satan trying to destroy her life. Because Satan got a hold of her mind. See, Satan couldn't get a hold of the heart. Because God already had the heart. When God has your heart, Satan cannot go and touch our heart. But he sure does a work on our minds. Yes, I can be going down the highway and they can change your billboards right there, and where maybe had advertising, a food line on that and everything. And then the next day I can go, the next week I could go by there, and they done changed the advertisement on there and everything. And I know, you know, food line's been up there for, I don't know, a year, 2 years. Because I know that, because it's here. I know it because I've seen it with my eyes. And I know when I come up to it, I'm going to see food line again. Well, see, then Satan, he tricks us by allowing somebody to come by there and put up a new billboard, a new sign up there. Food line in small letters at the bottom, but yet have an advertisement of food and everything, and the shopping carts and everything. But who's pushing the shopping cart today? It's either a young lady that doesn't have that much on, it catches your, wants to catch your eye, because he's already got your mind, because you're not like that. But see, if we focus in on that, if we really focus in on it, then the Holy Ghost is going to come back and say, Donnie, and ask God to forgive you. And he will. He will. For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give us knowledge. We know what to do. We know what to do as Christians. We know where the answers are. We also know the questions. The questions are right here. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? A question. The answer to that: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and He will save. Believe within your heart that He will do what the Word of God says He'll do. Knowledge. Knowledge is all through this book. Even wisdom. We can gain wisdom too. You know, I had an individual come up to me here last week. Me and Brother James was out last week and stopped by and got us a cup of coffee at the diner and sent that out. Then somebody else come by, and James, been a long time since he's seen James, and I knew him. I didn't know him as well as James, well, James did, but he says, "Bro, James, you still look young. Got that dog hair." He says, "You still working?" He says, "No, I retired from that. Because used to work at Cold Chevrolet." He says, "No, I'm retired from over there." He says, "I'm a full-time pastor." "How long have you been going from Cold Chevrolet?" He said, "Well, Cold Chevrolet's been closed for, I don't know how many years he's there from that." But he said that he said, "But I left Cold Chevrolet about 6 years before that." He said, "Man, he's not that old." He said, "You gotta give me your happiness." He's getting a little gray in it, but you know, majority of it is gone. Then he looked at me and said, "You've got to be old." He says, "You've got to be at least in your 90s.
Oh my goodness.
I said, "Well, look that way."
second seems that I don't want to be alone. But it was 7 years and they gave him a little, you know, mortgage. And he I got to know him pretty good that day. And he didn't know us.